Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Marks and Reese, we're back as the Eagles continue with their minicamp. Bobby Taylor is going to join us, former Eagle great and Ike's teammate. He's going to join us coming up at 4 o'clock. He's got something cool that's going on. As he kind of has a podcast going with the Eagles, so we'll talk to him coming up at 4 o'clock.
Listen, BT helped style your boy.
So he's the one that said you can't wear that that Nautica shirt or whatever he had on.
That Versace.
Versace, yeah, Armani Express.
Yeah, shirt on. Yeah, BT. He was one of our fashionistas on the team, brother.
And he liked to entertain too. He would have the parties at his house.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So BT coming up at 4 o'clock. Let's talk about that, and we'll talk about some Eagles stuff, too. But Elliot's live at the NovaCare Complex. Elliot, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Excellent.
ESP, what's up, brother?
How you guys?
Are you in tomorrow, too? Elliot, are you on the Marks and Reese show tomorrow?
Yes, he is.
I believe so. I am. So excited to talk Eagles then as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, because I'm doing the morning show again tomorrow.
Ah.
So Elliot will come in the afternoon. So let's ask you, give me your first takeaway from what you saw today at practice.
A couple takeaways. I mean, the first I would say is they have very good attendance considering it's voluntary, right? And I know that they're not having a mandatory minicamp, so this makes it a little more important. But the fact that we've gone from the team essentially putting out a statement saying, or the players, that they weren't going to come, to almost all the starters on both sides of the ball, all the rookies, all the backup players, they were all there today. So I do think that these next 3 weeks, or last week and then week coming up, they're going to get a lot of good work in. So I think ultimately it's a good thing that they're not going to have these mandatory minicamps, so they're going to get the 3 full weeks of work.
Mm, very cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so what about players on the field? Elliot, who jumped out to you? Mm-hmm.
So to be honest, we only got the first 20 minutes of practice. We didn't get to see 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. So, it was mostly individuals, and they were in shorts. But, Jalen Hurts, to me, stood out. Even from last year, you can tell he's been really putting in a lot of work. He looks much stronger than he was last year. He had a few nice deep balls he threw today. So that stood out. I mean, just the fact that he's the starter too, right? I mean, he was first up in all the quarterback drills. You could see him, working with the receivers and talking about different routes after they did, a few individual drills. So I would say his leadership and just really how physically different he looked stood out to me.
What about Jalen Reagor? I'm interested in Jalen Reagor. What does he look like out there? Mm-hmm.
So, oddly enough, he wasn't running routes when the receivers were running routes during individual drills. I don't know why that was, because he was doing different parts of practice.
Okay.
But, he did talk after practice, and he said that one thing that might be a little different from last year is he might be a little more interchangeable. Last year, he played mostly on the outside. He mentioned he might be in the slot a little bit more. He talked about how all the receivers are going to be interchangeable, and he really talked about how, he's taken the motivation of last year of everybody kind of, I would say fairly, ripping him for a rough rookie year, and he's going to use that to be better this year. So on the practice field, didn't do too much, I would say, but definitely had some interesting things to say afterwards.
I'm concerned with his temperament. Does he seem like does it seem like he's locked in on what people are saying about him from a critical standpoint, or is he locked in on the possibilities that he and a Devontae Smith as a duo could be in the NFL. Because I don't need his energy focused on trying to prove everybody wrong on Twitter and social media. Mm-hmm. Let's think about the endless possibilities of what you and Devontae Smith could be doing to defensive secondaries.
Yeah, he's been a hard guy to kind of get a read on. I mean, not being in the locker room last year has made it, you know, more difficult. We really only see him over these Zooms. And to be honest, in the Zoom, he's, you know, kind of subdued, right? He's kind of a little quiet, soft-spoken. You know, he clearly takes notice to what people say. You can see that even just on the way he handles his social media, right? He blocks people. He shuts his account down. He brings it back. Mm-hmm. People, he deletes them. So he's definitely aware of what people are saying. To your point, you know, maybe that's not a great thing. I don't know. Everybody gets motivated by different things. If he can use that to become a better player, then they'll be better for it. I would just caution him and say, you know, going in those mentions is a slippery slope, right? Like even my mentions, right? So I would just say to him, you know, to your point, you're in the NFL, you have Devontae Smith, you talked about how excited he is to be playing with him. That could be enough motivation right there.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm worried about the kid, man. He's spending a lot of time being angry now. If you're Steve Smith angry, that's fine. And you can channel that thing
on the field
and turn it into production. I like the edginess to him, but it just seems like he may be distracted with things that shouldn't mean as much to him. He has a real good opportunity. Forget about last year. He has an opportunity to go out and establish himself as potentially the best receiver on the team, or they could at least become one of the top young duos in the NFL. I mean, that's what he should be focusing on.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of an underrated key player when you talk about the offense because, you know, Goddard, you kind of know what you're going to get. Miles Sanders, you know what you're going to get. I think everyone thinks Devontae Smith is going to be good. If Jalen Reagor can come out and be like a legitimate number two or, you know, even as good as Devontae Smith, who knows? I mean, he was a first-round pick. But if they can get quality play out of him, I think that offense really does go up a level because if you have two speed guys on the outside or two guys after the catch, it can be dangerous. That really opens up a lot for Nick Sirianni, what he can do with the offense.
Mm, talking to Elliot Shore Parks, who was down at the NovaCare facility today. Just a lot of people are assuming Jordan Mailata is your starting left tackle this season. I am not assuming that, being that Andre Dillard is a former first-round pick. What's the feel down there for Dillard as far as what they expect or want from him this year?
Yeah, so Dillard was down there today. It's almost surprising to see him. Like, I saw him walk out of the locker room down to the field, and you kind of forget that he's even on the roster because he was hurt last year and he played poorly the year before that. So during one drill today, and it wasn't the full offensive line, but they had the left side of the offensive line lined up. They had Kelsey at center, Seumalo at left guard, and it was Jordan Mailata out there at left tackle. So just one drill, but that could be an indication as to where they have the depth chart heading into camp. But to your point, let's be honest, Howie Roseman is probably hoping Dillard wins that job. If Dillard is in camp and he's competing with Mailata, they have to be hoping Dillard wins it. He is the former first-round pick, you know, and it's a mark on Howie's resume if he's not. So as long as they're getting quality left tackle play, I guess it's really all that matters. But we've seen this team before where draft stock does play a role in who gets out on the field. So even if Mailata is the starting left tackle right now, I think Dillard is going to be given an opportunity to win the job.
Yeah, I agree with you, Elliot. They probably do want Andre Dillard to win this job. But they want him to go win it.
Yes.
They want him to go take it. And he shouldn't be put in there as a starter. Hasn't done anything to deserve that other than being drafted in the first round. He's been MIA for two straight years. They want to see if he's going to fight for a roster spot, fight for that left tackle position. And the key word being fight for it. Yes, fight for it.
Yeah, and look, I 100% agree with you. And if he comes to camp and he's kind of the same player with the same attitude that he's been the last 2 years, I mean, I don't think they would cut him just because there's not a ton of incentive to do that. But I think this is an absolutely crucial training camp and offseason for Andre Dillard. Like, if you come into camp and once again, you're not playing well, you know, you kind of don't have that toughness about you. Like, I don't know what they do with him at that point. I guess he's a backup because, you know, he's a first round pick. He's only making $3 million. You might as well just keep him. But, you know, Mailata really can come in and kind of solidify it, and Dillard's going to have to go take it from him.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe they try to keep him as a backup. I mean, Danny Watkins was released as a first-round draft pick, too. So.
Oh, yeah, they would keep him as a backup this year, but he'd be gone after this season.
Yep.
Yeah, he wouldn't be here. He wouldn't, because now you got the kid from Alabama they just drafted. You don't even need.
You got plenty of depth back there.
Yeah, you got plenty of offensive linemen, yeah.
All right, Elliot, last question. Are the Eagles closer to being a playoff team or a bottom team, a bottom 17 this year?
It's a great question. I saw the Twitter question. I would lean playoff team just because the NFC East is that bad. Like, I don't think that they are a 12-win team. I don't think that that's where they're going to be. But, you know, another thing that did stand out today when looking at the team is your players were injured last year, but I would be surprised if you added up, like, all the Pro Bowl appearances on this roster compared to other teams in the division. I feel like they have to be up there. Like, when Brooks is there, Kelsey's there, Lane's there, like, they do have a lot of talent out there on the field, and that stood out to me today. So I think they are closer to a playoff team than being like a bottom seven, as you said.
Mm. Ellie, appreciate it. People listen tomorrow. Ellie will be on the Marks and Reese show. Uh-huh. Be good, brother.
Look forward to it,
Don't
brother.
Don't screw it up.
Looking forward to it. Yep. All right, talk to you soon.
All right, there he is, Elliot. Yeah, the show's fun with Elliot, with you driving Elliot and Jack here. It's a fun show.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. So I will be on the morning show tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, last time I went well.
I mean, it was all right.
It was fun. It was a fun listen. They didn't really pick up on what we do here on the afternoons so well.
It's pretty clear they don't listen to the show ever. Joe Wechter does because he's in and out of the car with his kids.
He stole another of my drop today.
Did he really?
I mean, I appreciate it. Again, you know, it's a sign of respect.
It's a team effort here at the station.
Yes, it is.
Well, we're kind of territorial about our drops.
What drop?
I took the this one.
I'm tired of Joe Giglio.
That's all right. He can use that.
Oh, you needed that one, Joe.
Yeah, it was a Joe Giglio morning show.
Now, it was an adjustment, right? Because like the first time that I've done the show and I'm driving the show and, you know, the breaks are similar, but I don't know. It's just and it was a Winners and Weasels Friday, so there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, that's a big day, too. That's Winners
yeah,
and Weasels.
Yeah,
that's an institution on this.
Yeah, it didn't get great reaction on Winners and Weasels.
It's a lot like get rid of that guy.
No, we got great reaction to get rid of that guy. No, it was just like, but I did get a lot of people did say they thought it was fun, and what I did, so I just kept doing it was I was just kind of trolling them without them knowing it, right? Like oh, Jay Wright's in the Hall of Fame, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, for the winner of the week. It's like Jay Wright should be the winner of the week. He's going to the Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm like, yeah, but it's not even a Philly school. Right. Villanova's not in Philly, and they went berserk on me after I said it.
The show or
Al
the
and Rhea
oh,
and yeah,
Al's,
yeah.
Al's had a long couple weeks. He's been yelling it. He's the whole meltdown with TK on the
yes.
overnights. Yeah, I mean,
oh, he did.
Yeah, it's been a big culture shock.
So that's what started. So on Friday morning, TK thinks that Bryce Harper's disingenuous with all the Fanatic stuff or whatever.
Okay.
Right, and like, you know, I understand that point of view. I like Bryce, but some of it does seem forced, right?
Right.
So Al went, like, literally, people from KYW came down at 5:30 and I'm like, is everything okay? Because Al was yelling so loud.
At 5:30 in the morning?
During their little crossover show they have, right? So, like,
so that's when Al has the battery in his bag.
So
he's a lot peppier in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah. Right. I said, I'm like, dude, I need you awake for 7 and 8 o'clock. Don't use your energy. So I on the air, I said to him, well, what were you even arguing about? And he brings it up, and I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, he's got a point. And oh my God, they melted down, like melted down. Kenny from the Dirty 30 has some pointers for me for tomorrow morning. Kenny, how are you?
Johnny.
What's up, bro?
What's up, Kenny?
I have been listening and calling the show for 25 years. I have never, ever heard someone who hosted the morning show get yelled at by everybody like you did.
It was great.
you should have heard it. They were teeing off. Poor John. I wasn't sure if you were going to crawl under the table or man up, but you did all right considering.
Oh, I was smiling. I had one of those bleep-eating grins on my face. I didn't know what to do. It's awesome.
I've seen Rhea eat people alive. So, I mean, the fact you survived that day was kind of a minor miracle for you.
There you go. Tomorrow morning, another round.
Well, look, just be a kinder, gentler Johnny Marks, please.
Okay. All right, yeah.
Well, I don't know how to do that.
No.
Well, listen, the topics are probably going to be the Phillies losing another game and Ben Simmons. You already know what I'm going to say about that.
Look, I'm still smart that you didn't think Jay Wright deserved to be winner of the week for getting in the Hall of Fame. We'll have to talk about that another time.
No, you should have got on him about that, Kenny. Come on, now. That's a violation.
He said it wasn't even close, like under his breath as I was getting off the air. I heard that, by the way. Listen, John, I grew up in Warminster, right behind Archbishop Wood, real close to you. So,
yeah.
You know, you're kind of a homeboy, but I got to keep you
All right, in mind. All right, thank you. Yeah, I used to cut school and go to that Perkins restaurant for breakfast all the time, Kenny.
I was an original cook there when it first opened.
There you go. Well, there you go. Yeah. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you. Jack, you ever go to a Perkins? You seem very interested in it.
No, I just didn't know if you and Tiger were there for the same reasons.
Come on, man.
I could have been, but no, I just went for the pancakes and
Perkins.
Jack Fritz is a dope.
It's not a time to bring Tiger into this.
Yeah, leave poor Tiger alone. I did see a picture of Tiger though. I guess from over the weekend or semi recently on crutches.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
All right.
Someone snapped one. He looked all right.
Be back next year. 2022 will be the year of the Tiger.
So how hard is it to come back from an injury of that severity?
Hell, I don't know.
In your personal experience.
Yeah, right? I'm like, hell, I don't know. He was in a car crash.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, do you expect him to get back to – because he had the back – I mean, the back issues were where he had knee issues before, he had back issues before, so I'm just wondering if this
– Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get back to playing golf?
Well, I mean, getting back to playing competitive golf. Can he get back to
– Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, he's never going to be Tiger again. Right. Those days are gone. But can he have a moment like Phil had? Yeah, Tiger had it 2 years ago.
He
won the Masters.
Yeah.
That was his first one in what, 10 years, Jack?
Long time.
Yeah, well, because 08 was the U.S.
Yeah,
Open.
Yeah, so, yeah, more. I mean, it's been a while since he had won. That's the one thing about golf. It's an old man's game, kind of. Like, you can play for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can play for a while. So, yeah, I would expect Tiger, if he can get back right, he has enough money that he's going to get the best medical treatment and rehabbing. Hell, all he's doing is sitting in a golf club. He's not running routes.
That's kind of what my argument when we talk about golfing and athletics and things like
that.
But
here's the thing. Ben Hogan came back and won after he had a major car accident. That was in 1954 or whatever.
And I'm sure they didn't give him any type of medical treatment. They just left him in bed with Tylenol.
Yeah. A little different medical.
Whiskey and a bullet. Yes. Bite down on it if it hurts.
Exactly.
Let's go to Yoshi in Brewerytown. Yoshi!
Oh, God.
Oh God! What do you mean, oh God?
Well, because I don't know where your call is going half the time, Yoshi. I don't know where it's going.
Hey man, gotta keep you on your toes, buddy. Gotta keep you on your toes. Sometimes I might call in and break down some stats. Sometimes I might be all over the place with it.
What you got for us?
Hey man, I was calling in, chiming in on that Ben Simmons thing. The irritating thing about Ben is. Ben was like a $150 million man and all of that. The thing is, what's name? I don't really care about the three-point and everything. I wish he would have had a nice 15-footer. But Ben make himself small too much.
Right.
Too much. He get 2 feet away from the goal and want to pass the ball. Man, if I was 6'10", 20-something pounds down south, where I'm originally from, I'm yamming on him. That's what we said.
Yamming.
The yam. Ben... He just make himself so small. I'm 5'10". He make himself smaller than me. Like, come on, baby. Get in there and do your daggone thing. And one last thing real quick. I wanted to chime on this real quick. Jack, you a funny boy. Because last week when Elliot was up there, Jack was throwing some shots. Especially when Elliot needed that water. Jack, you had me.
Jack Fritz is a dope.
Hey, man, I love y'all, boy. Y'all have a blessing.
All right, Yoshi.
All right, Yoshi.
Yeah, Elliot, he got cotton mouth.
He lost his voice an hour and 10 minutes into the show.
What?
Yeah, he could barely talk. Like, dude, what do you need? Some water? Were you running out of steam?
So what did you do?
Well, I bullied him into not doing it again.
Glad you recognized that.
Listen, if we know anything on this show, like, we call it out when we see it. And, like, Elliot's losing his voice an hour and 10 minutes in the show. We have 3.5 hours.
Yeah, bro, we got a long way to go.
He's laboring to get through the first hour?
Yeah, I'm like, dude, we just started.
Is he guzzling water? Is that how he got it back?
No, I mean, he battle through it.
He got fired up early. That's what happened.
Oh, so he lost energy.
Well, yeah, I'm like, hold on, bro. We're not going there yet. We got time. This isn't a call-in segment where we got to get it in immediately. We got 4 hours to do this.
Got to pace yourself.
Yeah, I don't have time to be yelling at you for 4 hours. He was ready to go in that first hour.
Tom in Northeast Philly. Tom, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up,
Tom?
Mike? What's up, Marcy?
Hey, bud.
What's up, Tom?
All right.
Hey, Tom.
Long time listener.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you for calling.
Yes. Just calling in about and pretty much, Marcy, you answered the question. So when you said about Jay Wright, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, maybe is Marcy just trolling a little bit sometimes? because when I listen, I've been listening so long, I'm like, you got to love the team. You got to love the players. But sometimes you're a little more critical, whereas though Ike will say he can see both sides. Like when Ike talked about it, he's like, you know, I can see both sides why the Sixers may see. When we're talking about Ben Simmons or when we criticize
right.
or looking at the Eagles as far as
not trolling with Ben, but I'm not trolling with Ben. See, here's the thing. I realize that like he's an all-star player, right? Like we can have fun and say, does he really deserve to be an all-star player or not? But Ben Simmons is a good player. I guess that I just look at him and I say the potential that you have to be a dominant player is there, and you won't take it for whatever reason. The Yoshi was just saying he dribbles into around the foul line. He gets up in the air and he flips the ball off to somebody. I mean, that doesn't drive you crazy. He drives me crazy.
No, it does. It does. But the thing is, I give it time. I'm looking at his age, and I'm like, in the next 3 to 5 years, we should see some growth and development there. I love his defense. The other day at the end of the game, that steal, that even though it shouldn't have been as close, I get it. But that hustle to hit the floor and to get that ball, like that, those intangibles, I think, is what Doc talks about. When we say 15 assists and 15 rebounds, that is significant. That's something. Like, he controls the flow. Mm-hmm. So I think, yes, we can criticize. But I just think, like I said, sometimes it's the tone. You know, the tone comes off like, oh, Marcy's a hater. But I don't think you're really a hater. I just think that, you know, you're just strong in your opinion, man.
Make me feel good.
Oh, God.
Tom, listen, again, you're right. Listen, like here's the thing with Ben Simmons. He drives me crazy. He drives me nuts. Oh, from 6 from the foul line? And you want me to throw bouquets to him and call him a treasure? Like, sorry, I'm not doing that.
He's a treasure.
I'm not going to do that. My reaction after the game and then the next day was, like I said it earlier, I was annoyed that we're having the conversation of Doc's going overboard with Ben Simmons.
Right.
He was going overboard with him. Ben Simmons had a good game. They beat a Withers team they should have crushed.
By the way, like today, Doc should have been like, man, I'm on the game too. We won the game Sunday. You guys are still talking about how many points Ben scored. I moved on to game two already. I'll let you guys discuss that on the radio. I don't need to address that every day. Like, Doc, you don't need to defend Ben Simmons. You don't. From social media and what we do in the media on talk radio. As a matter of fact, you're not going to stop people from talking about it. This was going on prior to you getting here. And it's going to be going on when you aren't here anymore. So the best thing to do is to not actually feed into it. If it's after a game, I understand Sunday. I understand immediately following the game, what have you. That's fine. But you've had 24 hours or more to sit back and read the temperature of the city, know that we're out here having conversations about your team and particularly Ben Simmons. Nothing new to that. This is what we're doing. And your PR department should inform you of this and just be – and with your experience – as a championship head coach, realizing you have bigger things that you should be worried about, you should quit addressing this. Move on to game two, Doc. We're going to talk about it until we have something else to talk about.
Yeah, like game two.
Yeah, but you, on the other hand, you need to be focused on getting ready for game two.
Honestly?
Not addressing Philadelphia fans. Like, you need to stop with that, Doc.
If he doesn't say that today, are we discussing this right?
We're not even talking about Ben Simmons anymore.
We don't talk about it at all.
No.
No, not at all. He brought it up again.
Yeah, I mean, no, the question was posed to him, but he controls whether or not he answers the question.
Like you said, it's just like, listen, talk radio is going to be talk radio, and fans are going to be, and social media is what it's going to be.
I'm on the game, too.
I'm on the game, too,
you think
Ben.
Bill Belichick is sitting up here answering this question?
No.
I think Andy Reid is standing here answering this question.
And he coached in Boston for a long time.
Yes.
Boston, like Philly, has a sports radio culture where people are crazy and we talk about it and we break it down.
That's what we do.
Yeah, it's what we do. So he knows better.
Yeah.
Doc.
Like, he should be ignoring it.
But he's been doing this all year.
Yes.
He's been playing into this crap all year. You all are worried about this.
Right.
You all. 215-592-9494. Ike, we have some bad news on the Phillies.
What?
Could it get any worse with the Phillies?
Yes, it can.
Yes, it can, and it has. We'll give you the bad news coming up immediately on the other side. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.